Hello, all of my fans, femme, and psychonauts in the ethers. I am fucking excited to invite to the podcast for the local artist series, Hustle. Please say hi.
Hello, my name is Hustle. You want to be the goat? You don't want to be the goat no more. I am African and I am very hungry. I have been eating up the can for a long time. Hustle is an acronym for hurry up, start living. So do not die. You need to leave right now. Just go ahead.
So before we started podcasting, we were both like doing our voices. I can do voices and he can do voices. This is pretty cool. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So guys, are y'all ready? I am. Let's just dive right in. So I always sit with people before I podcast and I try to kind of get like a line or a basic knowledge of, you know, how I'm going to direct the podcast. And sitting here with Hustle, there's no directing this podcast. It's just a flow. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah. So I start asking him like all the basic questions and I'm like, well, this isn't near what, okay, well, we're just going to wing this one.
Freestyle.
And, you know, so going into freestyle, I started following you, or I started being aware that you were creating music and rapping in 2018 when I was a bartender at your mom's place. That was the name of the bar. Not really his mom's place. That's the name of the place he was performing at.
Don't lie to the people, Holly.
Am I? So how long had you been rapping in 2018 when I first started seeing you around?
So 2018, let me pull out the calculator that my teacher said I wouldn't have access to at all times when I was in school. Because she was wrong.
And now kids make good grades because they're looking up all the answers on the internet.
At all times.
Only failing tests.
So 2018 would have been 5 years ago. So I was 27. So I would have been rapping for 5 years at that time.
I'm not very good at math. But what I'm saying is that don't add up. Because I feel like you've been doing this for lifetimes. That's my opinion. I feel like you've been doing this for fucking lifetimes. He's lying. He's been doing it a lifetime. It's lies. So you started really focusing on rapping when you were 22. What gave you the inspiration for that?
So I was writing a paper. Excuse me. I was writing a paper in college at Rose State University, and a professor read one of my papers and said I had a way with breaking down words and making arguments that made sense and that couldn't be refuted. And so he was like, you're really good. You have a knack for breaking down grammatical statements, and you need to do something with that. So I'm looking at him. I'm just like, okay, well, I'm a rap. So that's what it meant to me. If you're good with words, you got to rap. So that was that.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that being the case, what happened? Like, so kind of like he said that to you, you are inspired by his words. So how did that take off for you?
So I would just start writing anytime. So whenever I used to listen to music, I would only listen to the hook. And I was like, if the hook is good, I'll like the song. Then I started really paying attention to the verses, and I was trying to figure out why it was so intricate and what made it so dope to me. So then I would only listen to instrumentals. So my phone used to be full of nothing but songs. I started changing it to where now it was full of nothing but instrumentals. And I'm like, instrumentals for everything, like all genres, rap, rock, classical, polka, country, it didn't matter. It was just all types of instrumentals, and my job was to challenge myself to see if I could write something to what I was hearing. And so I just started doing that on the daily. I did it as often as I could, and I tried to see if I could remember what I wrote down, so that way I could feed off of that and then write something else down, and then just continue to build it up until I had enough to where I could do a song and record it and then get it laid down.
So when you first started, there was no one else involved in it but you, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. When did you start getting yourself out there? Were you releasing music on the internet and then deciding like someone heard you and was like, hey, you should go do this? Or were you like actively seeking out like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How are people going to hear me?
Okay. Whenever I first started doing it, I was just doing it purely for entertainment. I was releasing stuff on SoundCloud like a lot of other people. I would just release it and just see what it did. I started posting those SoundCloud links to my Facebook, and then a lot of local promoters and a lot of local artists were hitting me up, and they're like, hey, we have an open mic here around this date. You know, I think you'd be dope. Come and perform, see what it'll do. Like Afton was one of them, Earth ENT. It's been a lot. There's been a lot of promoters. That's how I got to your mom's place. Nicolo Cron had hit me up. And he was like, hey, yo, man, I think you're dope. You need to come over here to the open mic and see what we got cracking up. And then that's where I got my start of really doing consistent open mics. And it's just been up from there.
Really?
Got to meet you there. Got to see how the crowd was reacting to it. And whenever I would do something and I seen everybody's face just light up, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So that gave me inspiration to go home and then write something else. And so it kind of fed into each other. The more I wrote, the more I wanted to write. And then just being able to perform it and having others appreciate the art that I created out of nothing, you know, it felt good. So I kept doing it.
Yeah, I bet it did. So I guess, have you consistently always made your own beats, or does someone else make your beats, or do you work with producers to do things like that?
That's probably the only thing I don't do. I don't make my own beats.
Okay.
Just because I'm so focused on making the lyrics and making sure that what I write is cohesive and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I have rap OCD, so if something doesn't make sense, then it pisses me off. So I let everybody else make the beats, and I always challenge myself to be as versatile as I can. And see if I can do something to every beat. Now that I'm older, I'm just like, yeah, you don't want to do that, because you're gonna be in there a long time trying to figure out what to write, and not every beat everybody's gonna listen to. Like some people be like, you have the dopest wordplay in the world, but this beat, nah,
it's not the one. Right?
So I don't make beats.
Okay.
I always link up with people who I think are talented, who are doing something. I get beats from all over. I try to get as many beats as I can locally here in Oklahoma City, but I've reached out to people as far as Canada, Japan,
wow.
Norway, the Netherlands, Russia, Vegas, New York, Cali. Like I get beats from everywhere. Like I try not to limit myself to what I think I should, where I think I should be getting the beats from. I just let, if it moves me, or if it makes me think about something, then I reach out to them and I'm saying, hey, I'd like to rap over this beat. What do we have to do?
Oh, so how do you meet these people? Is there like a chain or a network of people who are making beats that you know to reach out to? Or do you just, because I'm trying to wrap my head around, how do you find beats all over the world? That's pretty amazing.
Most of the time, just me posting. Mm-hmm. It'll read like the internet is an amazing tool. That's why I say there's nothing you can't do with the power of the internet that's now that we have access to.
Yeah.
I just post, I'll post a link, I'll post a video, I'll post something, and somebody will share it. And the most random of people will comment on there and they'll reach out to me. Like I've had people reach out to me on every social media platform I can think of. And sometimes it's just like, man, I heard you say this one line, and I just knew that I had to have you on this beat. So I'm here from Japan. You tell me what you think of this beat. I'll be like, okay, well, let's see what we got. And so me doing music is promotion for music itself. Like I really don't have to do anything except for make music, and these people find me. If I don't find them, they find me.
Right.
So that's why I try to stay as consistent as I do with always putting new content out, because I never know who's listening. And then the opportunities that come from it are just far reaching, wide, and they always return with something good.
Yeah, I was like, because I was scrolling through like your music, and I mean, it just goes and goes and goes. And so to think about the amount of time that you have spent in this industry, in doing this, creating this art, it's just you have released more than some people that are in Hollywood, or I say Hollywood, but that's like the concept, like
Right.
mainstream, I guess.
Gotcha.
Is that a good way to put it?
That's the perfect way to put it.
Okay.
Mainstream industry, interchangeable, but you're correct.
But I'm a huge fan of yours. So it's more like I see all of this that you're putting out, and you're so consistent, and it's like you're doing more than them, than this mainstream world. So I'm just saying. What we doing here? when we setting off, when we going.
We're going all the way up, and the time is coming. Like, I'm a rap until I'm antimatter. Like, that's what I've always said.
Yes.
So, I mean, all of my content is a little bit different. Spotify has tracks that I've completed. Instagram will have freestyles and concepts that I've got, and I've used other people's beats, or maybe I've used like industry beats. TikTok will have what are they called?
Man, I
Duets.
love the TikTok duets that you're
Yeah,
doing.
those are fun. And so like there it's like I want it to feel like everything is kind of different. My SoundCloud is different from my Spotify. Like occasionally I'll take the songs that I put on Spotify and I'll put them on SoundCloud. But the purpose was so that you could see that I'm versatile and I'm always doing something different. Like I don't want all of my social medias to feel the same. I want them all to feel different. Like kind of like when you're a kid and you go over to your friend's house and you pull out just toys at the toy box, you're like, oh man, you have this? I haven't ever seen. You know what I'm saying? That's what I wanted to feel like. The more you discover, the deeper you dig into the toy box, the cooler the toys get. So that was always my purpose with it. Just kind of like that. You never know that force. You never know what you're gonna get type of feeling, right?
Yes. I really think that you do that. So I just like kudos to you for doing what you say and being about who you are. Like there's no like you are who you say you are, kind of a situation is the best way for me to put it.
Hope so.
Yeah. So what fuels you now? Like what is like not now, but forever? Like what has always fueled you in the game in rapping?
The need to show the ones that inspired me to rap what they've done and what they've contributed. I like Tupac's quote where he said, I might not change the world, but I'll inspire the person who will. And I want all of my favorite rappers to know that, you know, what you said on this track, you set a flame in somebody like me. You know what I'm saying? So if they ever heard my stuff and they're listening, it's like, whoa, who inspired you to rap like that? I just want them to be like you did, and just to have that mutual respect. So me wanting to impress my idols keeps me going.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that. I was listening to some old rap and hip hop on the way here, and so they inspired me to be like where I am now and the confidence to there's something in lyrics that will do something to you.
Right,
You know what I mean?
right.
It motivates you. They said something and it seeded in your mind.
To this day.
Till this day. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so that's why I always want, it's like, I'll give you my top five changes a lot, but at the same time, it doesn't. I could
Okay.
say my top five, as far as rappers go, would probably be Lupe Fiasco,
Okay.
The Game,
Okay.
Eminem,
Okay.
Nas, and then that last spot's always tricky. If you really have a good top five, that last spot's always tricky. But I would probably say either Andre 3000, Pusha T, Absol, or Bruce Lee.
Why you're number one?
why my number one? Because I feel like he's untouchable with the way he puts words together. Like the way he puts words together, I'm just like, I have to outdo that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be the only one who has like some infinity gauntlet, like reality warping rhymes, and just think you're just going to get away with that. It's like, we're going to figure out how you got there. And then we're going to figure out how to rework it and reverse engineer it. So, my goal, I'm a tinkerer. So I always figure out how stuff works and then I take it apart so that I can put it back together. So my degree was supposed to be in aerospace engineering, but I don't feel like I've really ventured that far off of it, because in aerospace, you know, engineer is literally rocket science. They're trying to figure out the hard stuff. And so now that I do music, my goal is to make music that's out of this world. Aerospace engineer and wanting to make music that's out of this world fall into the same occupation. So I haven't really ventured off that far. And so if I feel like somebody's better, then I'm going to work at it until I get better. Best is a destination. I never want to be to where I'm just like, I'm the best. I always want to be working to get better, because better is a journey. So you have good, better, and best. So good, you know, is the starting point. Best is the destination. But the person who's always trying to get better never stops.
You're absolutely right.
What happened after that last statement was me speechless. I had no words. That's what you call a mic drop. I felt that shit. All right. Now back to the show.
Right, so just like switching it up a little bit, I was going to ask you a few questions about being on the road. I know like you don't have to tell me everything, but tell me like one of the most memorable moments from being on the road, or maybe a specific show that you were like, this is the best memory.
Okay, so we were supposed to go to Houston to do a show to possibly get on to be an opener for Tech N9ne.
Oh, I love Tech N9ne.
Yeah, he's got that effect. So we left. It was me and Wifey. We had left from Oklahoma. I decided, you know, I'm just going to drive down there. You know what I'm saying? We're going to risk it. It said 9 hours away. I was like, we got this. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. We leave Oklahoma. We stop.
Just you and the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We stop.
Adventure time.
We stop in Ardmore, and we go up there. The homie Kenfolk and the homie Nobody Jones had a radio show called Raw Radio, spelled R-A-W-R, and like, they had invited me to, like, they reached out to me. Now, actually, they reached out to me and Zunafish, and they would just be playing my shows. Actually, I met Zunafish through them talking about we should do a track on that show. And then I was just like, who's Zunafish? You know what I'm saying? So they kind of led me in his direction, and we kind of linked up on there. And so the next time that I sent a track in, I sent a track in featuring, it was me featuring Zunafish. And they were like, yo, what the fuck?
You did it.
But we stopped there first. We went to Ardmore. You know, they had some, what was he, I don't remember what he called it, some punch or that tidbits. He had a lot of sayings and shit, but we were drinking there because, you know, it's on the way. So we stopped there. We did a podcast similar to what we're doing now. And like, you were just asking questions and we're just getting drunk. We're feeling good and everything. Do that. They have Ardmore small. So they had like, where we were doing the podcast, it was also a club next door called Gushers. And I guess that's where everybody comes and performs.
Uh-huh.
So like, I had a friend who stayed in Ardmore, and like what we used to do, nerdy as fuck, we used to go there and play like Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments at the Barnes and Nobles. And that was like their thing. That was like their Walmart.
I love that so much.
That's like their Walmart or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or their mall. That's like their mall.
Okay.
So like the Barnes and Nobles, and I think there was a Walmart or whatever, but that's what Gushers and everything felt like. So the podcast was in the same room. The club was across the across the way, and then like all the artists and everything were in there. So I'm just like, oh, it's pretty cool. I was like, we'll have to come back and kick it with you guys because we got to make it to Houston, whatever. We drive maybe like 30 minutes, and then my car just goes boom, 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 boom. What the fuck is that? My girl's looking at me like, you know, that meme and everything where it's got the big eyes and they look forward and they look at you again.
Yes.
I go over there and like the oil's just leaking. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. So this is why I said the internet's powerful. I learned how to change my own oil off the internet, off of Google right then and
there. Good.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
Because I needed it.
So leaking that fluid, I got that patched up and everything, and we're good. You know, we drive maybe another hour and like we're tired. I'm still kind of drunk because we just had like hella drinks and everything.
Right.
So we're sleeping in a parking lot of like a, was like a Texaco or an Onkyo. I don't remember what it was, but we're sleeping there. And she's just like, this is what you do? I was like, yeah, this is pretty much what
I
do.
How long were y'all dating by this time?
We've been together since high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she meant like, what did she mean by that statement? Like, just...
She was like, so you just get tired and pass out in your car?
Oh, got it. Oh, this is what we're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
So she was drunk too, so she really couldn't argue. You know what I'm saying? So we're sleeping in the car, and like I'm just listening to instrumentals. I'm just listening to my performance and everything. I look over there at her, and she's like, I was like, oh, good. We're asleep for like a good 2 hours, and I was like, all right, now we need to get on the road. So then start the car up, and we start making our way to Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, we get into Texas. We're probably like an hour or two into, probably like an hour outside of Dallas, and the car starts making that sound again. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, and then next, you know, it's like just hot. It's hot as fuck. Like the oil, I guess, had leaked all the way out, and like it's like literally running off of nothing. And so like the engine is hot, and then like in order to keep the car running, I'm looking at the temperature meter, and like it's all the way at the H. And so to cool it off, like I'm stopping every couple of minutes to pour water onto the engine. I'm filtering like whatever I can through the oil or whatever. I don't know what the fuck is going on at this point.
Right.
But it's just like overheating, and I have to stop like every like 10, 20 minutes so that way we can cool the car down, so way it doesn't overheat, so we can make it. We're like, at this point, we're like 6 hours away from Houston. Uh-huh. And like, I'm thinking like, we're going to get there, you know, we've been driving all night. We'll get there like maybe an hour before the thing starts, and, you know, we'll be cool. Didn't expect this. So we're stopping like every 30 minutes so I can pour water onto the engine to cool it off. I've got the heat blasting in the car. I've got the windows down, and we're just rolling. My wife is over there looking at me like, what the fuck have you got me into? And she was like, if you don't fucking win, beat your ass.
I'm pissed.
We're driving, and it's like that. She's sweating, I'm sweating, you know what I'm saying? I'm going as fast as I can. The guys hit me up on the phone. He was like, all right, I need all artists to be here by this such and such time. I'm like, okay. I'm still pouring water on this shit, and I'm going as fast as I can. You know, it keeps stopping. Like, we're stopping literally every 30 minutes so I can cool it down. And like every time I have to stop and cool it down, it's like a 10-minute cool down.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from being like an hour early to like an hour and a half late. And I'm just like, I'm texting the dude. I was like, man, I'm almost there. Can you put me last? Can you do whatever? You know what I'm saying? I'm on my way. Like, I'm driving all the way from Oklahoma City. I'm doing everything I can to get there.
Yeah.
We finally get there, and by the time I pull up, he's like, man, we just left. I was like, bruh, y'all just left. And so, like, after that, he sends me the footage of everybody who performed, and I'm just looking at the room, and I'm just like, I would have killed everybody in mm-hmm. that performance. Like, it was a guaranteed spot. Like, the winner got to open up for Tech N9ne, and they got $50,000. And I was like, this is crazy. And so, like, we get there, and I just take a picture in front of the, like, the little water structure or whatever, and I took that picture, and then I was just like, I'm going to use it for some kind of artwork or whatever. I ended up just releasing it last week or whatever. The song is called Don't Want to Be Fake, mm-hmm. but the artwork is from whenever we drove down there and didn't get to open or whatever. So that let me know how serious I was about music.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it let me know that any opportunity could be the one. So never stop. It doesn't matter how hot it gets. Doesn't matter how far you have to go. It showed me that I have a resolve like no other person. And then we had to drive back. And so she's just looking at me like.
So y'all been together since high school?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm a sucker for a love story. So that to me, I'm like, oh my God, I love that.
Don't worry. She beats me. She's an Aries too.
That's how you know about Aries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's dynamite, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she's a mom.
Yes.
You'll have a baby.
Yeah. We have a son, Khalil. He's 9 years old. So yeah.
How fun.
Yeah. I'll say.
How does your son like do with you being an artist? Is he interested in things like that?
He's musically inclined, but I do it so much I think he's bored where he doesn't want to hear anything about music. If I get in the car, he already knows. He's like, Dad's gonna play music. I really just want to listen to Post Malone, but we gotta listen to Dad's mixtape. Fuck out of here, old man.
He wants to listen to Post Malone.
He loves that Post Malone and the what is his name from? It's the Sunflower song.
Ray
Sherman, but it was the second dude, the one who I usually know his name.
Sway Lee?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was his favorite song for the longest. He liked Tyler the Creator's Earthquake. He liked I recorded a song for an artist named Remedy J. Shout out to Remedy J. Her song was 1901, and it was kind of like she did a verse over a song that already existed, but she kind of remixed it her own way. He's like, that's my favorite song. I was like, you never said that about my song.
I think that makes me feel sad.
He's like, what the fuck? He's like, you're old man.
So do you ever like think about putting him on one of your songs?
He's actually on a song. He's actually on three. He's on a song I have called Take a Trip. When he was a baby, I used his voice. He's like, Dada, and he's on there. A song me, Zuna Fish, Magdiel Rios, and Zay have called CGI. After my verse, he actually goes, bah, bah, and I'm thinking about just making that like the actual hook through the whole song and then just uploading it to Spotify. And then various times he's been in there when I've been recording myself or other people. So he's probably got like at least 10 or 12 cameos unofficially, and mm-hmm. like they're just gonna be on there. I'm just like, yep, that's him. So
when he gets older, he's gonna love that. You know that, right?
Right.
Like right now, it's like whatever, old man, or whatever. You say. When he gets older, he's gonna be like, hey, check this out,
right?
My pops.
I'm hoping so. He wants to play the piano. I'm trying to get him one. He has an ear for like really. That's how I learned if a song is gonna be good or not. I'll play it for him. And if he starts humming along or if he starts bobbing his head, I know that's a good indication that it's going to be a good song.
Mm-hmm.
If he's just looking at it like, you're saying a lot, but it's a lot of words. I'm just like, okay, that's probably not the one to push right now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he's definitely got an ear for it. I'm looking forward to it because I feel like if he can make beats for me
mm-hmm.
and then I can rap over his beats.
Ooh, what inspiration.
Right, right.
A duo.
Oh, man.
And here we are.
And I don't have to pay him until he figures out the business.
I'm your dad. You live under my roof. That's payment enough.
That's our BMI. That's our ASCAP. It's ours. Stop being selfish. That's ours. What do you mean? What do you mean you made the beat? We made the beat. We made the beat.
I made you. So we made the beat.
See? Facts. Big facts. Lots of paper.
Now you know. So does your wife, does she really support your career? Is that why you are, you know, going strong and you have a very solid
yes,
backbone?
Because she's able to encourage me whenever I feel like Now, I wouldn't necessarily say giving up, but whenever I feel like I'm out of creative juice and I just don't know what direction to take next, and she's just like, you're going to tell me you write all the motherfucking lyrics in there and you're on the mic remixing all the stuff and you ain't got nothing to write? You better get in that studio room and drop something.
Hey, so, look, an Aries is the biggest hype man. I'm not even playing with you. So I'm happy that you got something like that to pump you and make you feel like, I'm going to do it. I need to get in there and do my business.
I have to, otherwise she's going to beat me.
She's going to beat that ass. So, I listen to the lyrics. I hear some of the things you say, and it blows my mind because I start thinking about, like, what's your use with psychedelics? I know that's, like, an odd thing to think, but when I hear some of the things you say, I'm like, he is, like, 20,000 years before his time. What is happening? Like, you say some things. So I always, I don't know why, maybe it's because of my journey, but I always associate like this deep thoughts with someone that's done psychedelics. And I'm sure that's probably not where you even got your creative juices or whatever, but you had to have had some pretty like prolific, like journeys. How many, I mean, like this, tell me about one.
Okay, so when it comes to psychedelics, I say like, what's the word? I'm very picky with my stuff. Like, I like shrooms, but they don't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it off of shrooms. Shrooms make me feel like earthy and in touch with nature, but then it's just kind of like I don't get the effect that I'm looking for. And I don't take psychedelics to get high, but I want to know that they're working. So I take LSD. I plan to take DMT in the future.
Yes.
So, acid, kind of just, I was always creative, always kind of really analytical in it. Acid just boosted all that times 10,000. And so now it's just like, instead of writing the words, I can write the energy. I can write and I can depict energy. Like, if you sit me in a room with somebody for 30 minutes, it's almost like I can tell you like their origin story, and I can almost loosely tell you how it's going to end. And it's trippy, so I don't do it all the time because some people like it, some people like the fuck out of my head. And so the story that really let me know that it was doing something wild, I was sitting at a show in Norman.
Mm-hmm.
Lo Hum was playing on the stage. And I'm just in the corner, and then I'm just, you know, I'm really vibing to the music. I'm not talking to anybody, and I'm usually talking to somebody, but I'm not talking to anybody. And you know how, like, you just do that little rock back and forth whenever you're just really on, like, you're just really on in your trip zone and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just listening to the music. The show is wrapping up, and then out of nowhere, a voice inside my head steps outside of my head and starts narrating to me in a Morgan Freeman voice. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah.
It's Morgan Freeman. You can't not listen to Morgan Freeman. So it's like all around the room, you see transactions happening. Be observant to what's going on. So I'm looking at the stage. The band is wrapping up. It's a group of girls that come up to him and they're just like, oh, we really love this song. She's like, they said, we really appreciate it, you know? And the voice was like, that's a transaction. There's somebody in the corner and they're just like, I don't want to go home. You know what I'm saying? It's normal. We don't have like a party or anything. There's nothing else that you guys are trying to get into. You know what I'm saying? And he's talking to somebody and they're like, I might know something. You know what I'm saying? The voice was like, that's a transaction. Is somebody else in the corner buying a beer? You know what I'm saying? That's obviously a transaction.
Right.
And there's somebody like looking for weed. They're like, man, I got $20, man. You got a G or anything? You can sell me. The other dude is like, well, man, I can step out to the car and see what I got. And it was like, that's a transaction. It was like, at this time of night, you'll notice that the energy shifts and everybody in the room is buying and selling. There's all types of services being offered and there's all types of transactions being made. And this is what happens on a normal Wednesday, Thursday night in your city. What do you think happens in a room where there's unlimited money, unlimited power, and no morals? What type of transactions do you think are made in a room like that? Then the voice suddenly reappears back into my consciousness. Like, it felt like as the voice was talking, it felt like I was behind my own self looking around. Like I was looking at it in a third person view, but I could see myself in it. Like I could see, like I've never seen the back of my head, but I could see the back of my head whenever the voice was talking. And so when it came back into me, it's like, it felt like everything that it just said, like just absorbed itself right back into me. And it's just like, huh. And so at that point, it was just kind of like that, that point in Doctor Strange when it's just like, you could channel this energy into yourself and you could do whatever you wanted to do, or you could channel this energy into everything else and the world will be a lot greater for it. But you have the choice to do that. It's like, what do you choose to do? Because life is all about choices.
Gosh.
So after that, like my writing is never the same. Like now I'm just like, now my writing is just like, here, and I'm just like, okay, I gotta tone it back a little bit because I already felt like I was hard to understand before. Now they're just gonna be like, what the fuck is in the fucking Dythera and shit? He's playing, we're playing Jumanji, and this motherfucker's playing Zathura. I don't really know what's going on. So,
wow. And that was LSD.
Yeah,
I've had some pretty different journeys when it came to LSD. When you were talking about mushrooms, for me, that earthy feeling and all that bringing me back to like a Gaia, Mama Earth, I think I live so much like in a different reality most of the time that I needed mushrooms to bring me back here. Because LSD does. It takes me to a completely galactic universe. Like, it's no longer Earth.
Right.
It is out of this world. It's like working with all kind of galactic beings for me. It's like, whoa. This is me the whole time. Like, this is not the reality I'm really in. Like,
she said, it's the entities for me.
It's those machine elves for me over in the corner talking. But the way you describe like the voice that stepped out of you and then it stepped back into you and you were able to absorb it, that to me when you said that was like, oh, that's like your highest version of you.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Like God.
Yeah,
that's God.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah, I believe it. I absolutely believe that was the experience that you had. Have you had more? Is that the only time you've used LSD?
No.
Have you had bad experiences with it?
Just one time when I was playing the game. I play Mortal Kombat. Uh-huh. And usually, like, I'm whooping everybody's ass. Like, you can ask anybody who's played me. They're just, if they're being truthful, they're going to give me my props. But I was playing one time online, and I just couldn't beat this dude. And like, he's using Baraka, and Baraka's got like a fatality where he kills you or whatever whenever he wins the match, where he's just continuously impaling you, mm-hmm. and like your body parts are just falling off. And then like, normally it doesn't bother me. Like, you know what I'm saying? We grew up with Chucky and everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Craft and everything. We've seen all Michael Myers, Scream, all of that stuff. None of that stuff bothers me. I don't know why, but seeing this man get bodied and decimated piece by piece, my heart starts beating at like 3,000 miles per hour. And it's just like, this is how you're
gonna die. Fatality.
Yeah.
You felt it.
Yeah. And it was like, this is how you're going to die. And I was like, fuck that. I turned the game off and I turned some cartoons on. You know, when kids get scared, I don't know what it is, but they always turn off the scary movie and then turn some cartoons on. And it felt like that. And I was just like, you know what? I got to be careful with this shit because that wasn't fun. But that's the only bad trip I've ever had.
Yeah. And you had mentioned, like, you don't use it to get high. Mm-hmm. You actually are using it consciously when you do it.
I use it to write.
Oh. You had mentioned, like, you didn't feel like you were fucked up. You felt, like, more like your brain was working at a different capacity.
Right.
And I think it's brilliant that you think like that because other people, like, they're not being able to control their trip, mm-hmm. in a sense. And so they're fighting what it's trying to give you. It's like trying to give you. It's like, so I think psychedelics are like keys to the universe.
I would agree.
They all are different keys. This one does this. This one does this. This one does this. And I think if you utilize the key like it's supposed to, you learn the lesson or retain the wisdom from it.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so, like, thinking about you having that awareness that your brain is just functioning at a higher capacity than what it usually does, that's amazing to me. Because I don't share that kind of, like, people don't tell me that a lot. They're trying to rationalize and explain what they've seen rather than realizing that this is what we have all along. Mm-hmm. We're only just barely tapping into what we can do and the abilities we do have.
They say the brain only operates at 10%. After I took that, I felt like it just flooded open to at least 30 or 40%. And I mean, if I can 100% unlock my brain, I would. But that Ooh. feeling, it felt like, it didn't feel like, and I know it probably sounds cliche, it didn't feel like a drug, but it just felt like I was reconnecting like neural pathways. Like I felt like before my brain was firing on like 4 cylinders. Now, after taking it, it's down to like 11 or 12 cylinders. But the time I first took it, I felt like I was at like 17 cylinders. Like everything just made sense. Like I wasn't angry at anybody. I didn't judge anybody's lifestyle. I felt like I was extremely happy to be here. And I felt like I could read energy like, kind of like a blind person reads Braille. Like I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. Mm-hmm. And like I could kind of illustrate with it. And then I just kind of took it, and then I was able to weave it in a sense. And it was just like, it was a weird feeling, but it was an amazing feeling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling people to do it, but if you get a chance, you know what I'm saying?
I agree. I experienced psychedelics when I was younger, using them at parties. I was like MDMA. Is that a psychedelic? I mean, I feel like it's a psychedelic, but it's not plant-based. There we go. Mushrooms, things like that. I never was consciously using them. And then when I got into my 30s, I had so much fucking trauma built up from all the years that I just like was like, hey, just put the trauma over here. I got it. I'll just carry it. You know, in my 30s, I decide, you know, man, I've been seeing a lot of stuff about ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, I could probably benefit off doing this. You know, everything I see, these people have like all this trauma. And then they drink a cup of this medicine, this plant medicine. And then all of a sudden, they start viewing life differently. And I had gotten to a point in my life, I had an NDE in 2018, and then 2019 is when I was like, you know, I really got to probably change something with my mind. There's something wrong going on. And I just, when I tell you like plant medicine called me to it, it did. I don't know what better way to explain it, but I think everything is in design. Like our life, like it is a certain design.
Right.
And whatever choices you make, you're still going to get to that final destination, but you have free will. Right. So you have the ability to choose all the different avenues. So I was choosing the avenue of pain to retain wisdom, you know? So I'm at a stage where I'm like, I think I can go do this thing. You know, I mean, fuck, I've been to crack houses and I've fucking been to trap houses where I was just fucking partying. Like, why can't I go a place where they're all just sitting around or in a circle drinking ayahuasca? Like, right. Same difference, but maybe I'm healing, you know? And I did. And I drank this cup of ayahuasca and was like, nothing. Felt nothing. Then my next month, I came back to try it, and it did it. I died. I literally thought I died. And I think I did, in a sense, a part of me died. The parts of me that needed to be released died.
It kind of felt like just a rebirth?
Absolutely. What it felt like, and the best way to explain it was, what it felt like for me was, I was laying there looking at the fire, and tears are just rolling down my eyes because I can't move. And I say to myself, well, you did it this time. You went too hard in the paint, and now you're dying.
Flocka.
Exactly. So I was just like, this is what it is, you know, and all of a sudden there's this light. The best way I know how to explain it, there's a light that goes off in my head. It's like the light bulb that goes off. But this was something that went off in my head. It was a light. It was an energy. It was a force. And it started at the top of my head and it ran through my entire body. And then all of a sudden, I like sat up and I can feel cracks in my vertebrae. And what it feels like is, the best way to explain it is, I got my wings back.
Okay.
And I felt that. I felt like I did die. And when I was reborn, I was in my true form. I'm an angel. I know who I am now. I know I'm here for a purpose, for a reason. And it's to my heart. It's the magnetic love that I have to give to this universe, to this reality. And I hated myself for so long because I just loved people. Even when they did me wrong, even when they hurt me, I still loved them.
Like your love language, you're a giver.
Oh, 100%. I'm a nurturer. I'm like, let me love you. Just come sit in mama's lap. You know, like, let me just love you. Like, that's how I feel. And for so many years, I hated myself for that. It's probably in one of my tougher times of my life when I was really like hitting a rock bottom. But it came to me like, as I'm like, and I'm like, my bones are breaking. So my vertebrae are breaking. I'm feeling like what feels like bones cracking. And it all floods me. You're an angel who has come to this reality, and you had to go through what you went through. You had to love as fiercely as you did to know who you are, to know you're capable of doing it in your better years. So if I was capable of like loving and nurturing when I'm in one of the darkest eras of my life, then imagine what I can do when I'm in that light stage of my life. I already know what the darkness is. And I know this is so crazy, but how you talked about, you just felt like it was firing off and you were able to have the bigger capacity and use more. That's exactly what it was. I was like, oh my God, gravity. It holds me here. It holds my soul here, my spirit. I have to be in this body. I had to experience. I mean, like, it was just like all this flood of everything is coming to me. And then all of a sudden, I can feel the wings on my back.
That's wild.
I can feel the vibration of them moving like this, and kind of the energy and the vibration. I can feel it. And so I was like, oh, okay. That's my higher self. That's my highest version of me here with me right now, saying, I'm always with you. We're always together. We're always one. It's up to you to utilize the open channels in your brain, the main computer, to be able to conversate and to really hold that with me. You have to believe.
Right.
That was my message. And I was like, you know, I mean, I sat up and I was like on my knees sitting there, and I could just feel it. And like, it was like my hands were even like this, and I can just feel it. And I'm just like, looking at the fire, and I'm like, I know who I am. You know, it's like, I was just in that moment. I was like, I know who I am. I know why I'm doing this. I just thought I knew all why I was doing everything. And you always think you know something until you realize you don't know shit about fuck.
Right.
And you don't.
That's an exact quote.
Yeah, exactly. But I did want to tell you about an adventure with mushrooms.
Okay.
That was a really cool one. So I did the hero's dose. I had been planning this ceremony. I had been working with different archangels, and I was like, which one do I need to utilize my voice? Because I wanted to do this podcast. And I was like, I had started it, but I needed Archangel Michael of Hods. I needed him to help me. And I didn't know what he looked like physically. I don't have it. I didn't have a picture of what I believed his energy form looked like. I just knew that's the archangel I needed to work with. So I got all the colors. I did all the things so I can visualize it, put it in my mind. So when I go into my journey, I'm like, I brought you all these things, you know, kind of like, you know, like what you said on your altar, or, you know, when you give it to like your ancestors, like, I'm like, I brought you all these things, you know, like, can we work together kind of a thing. I did my part and it was so fucking cool. So I have my blinders on. I have my blanket over my head even because I want to go within and I want to journey outside of myself in this reality so I can, I want to be able to do this podcast. I'm going to give everything to it.
Right.
So I, 5 grams of mushrooms, and all of a sudden I'm in this sphere that's like rainbow. It's like iridescent is the best way to put it, but it's in a bubble. Like I'm very aware that I am in a bubble with a blue being. And it's, I want to say a bubble, but it was like iridescent rainbow things just going around us. And like, it's a circle. Like it's we're in the bubble, but these things are like keeping it to where we can do what we need to do. And he starts teaching me how to work with energy through sacred geometry. So I'm learning how to move energy. He's teaching me lots of things and there's never words spoken. It's all telepathy. That blows my mind even more because I'm like, this really happening because we aren't using our mouths to communicate. This is how I know it's real because we're here and he's teaching me these things. Well, then this is my biggest lesson that I got from that. I'm working with this being and I'm learning all my things and he's like praising me. He's like, you're doing it. You've got it. Keep on. Do this. Do that. And try this. Move this here. And, you know, I'm doing all the things that he's requesting me to do. And then all of a sudden, I cut from having full eye contact with this being. And I look and there's like hooded other beings outside of this bubble that we're in, watching and observing us. And I'm just like, because, you know, like, they galactic looking. Okay, some look reptilian, some look like grays. Yeah, and I'm just like,
out of this world right now.
And look, this is me. And I'm just staring at these beings. And then the lesson, I got to learn a gift from this being. But the lesson was, you let outside sources really play into why you aren't paying attention to what you want to do. Mm-hmm. When are you going to start cutting off and focusing on yourself? Because that's all I was doing. I came there with a mission.
Right.
I had planned to do this, but here I am fascinated by the outside when it's the inside that I'm trying to work with.
That's profound.
Yeah.
That's really dope.
Those were so, I could go on for hours with the lessons that ayahuasca has given me. If people are ever struggling with being stuck in a loop, being stuck in a spiral, I say with the right amount of doing your job of studying, talking to your healthcare provider if you're on medications, or anything like that, I would recommend people to take an ayahuasca journey in a ceremony style to anyone that's stuck. Because I know who I was. I know how my mind worked. You know yourself the best.
Right.
I know me. I know I'm different. I know it unlocked new abilities here and here. And then in this reality, it gave me a lot of gifts to give to others. I can love and nurture differently. I can set firm boundaries differently, where before I was just this fucking Ready Player One. I'm just like in this reality that's not really me. And, you know, and it's, I'm just walking around in this world of this world. I wasn't being my highest self.
That makes sense.
And then all of this work that I did, and it completely changed me. So those are my cool experiences, but I could go on for hours.
So the wings, it kind of felt like you were in your like majestic final form.
Yeah, it was like, sis, you don't give yourself enough credit. You don't see you. I'm gonna let you feel you. I'm gonna let you know who you truly are. And it's gonna be up to you to carry on as who you know you are versus who you've been scared to be. Because for many years, I just walked and lived my life for everybody else. I never knew what my passions were. I never even knew what I liked to do because I was a people pleaser.
Right.
I didn't understand that I deserve to have a life too. That over-nurturing person, that's how I know I'm an angel, because I want to do and be and nurture for everyone but me. I'm selfless. And that was one of my biggest lessons, was like, you can still be all those beautiful things, but when are you going to do and be for you? So it's been pretty amazing, my journey.
That's kind of wild. Like, being so selfless is actually selfish because you're neglecting yourself.
Oh my God. Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. I see that now, because I could never show up as my best version because I was drained dry.
So every like day. Trying to pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like breaking the glass in this empty cup just to give you something.
I feel you.
Yeah.
That kind of lit a light bulb up for me. Like, you know how like you go through something and like you go through a lot of dots in life, and then like you just kind of like, what's the point of all these occurrences? What's the point of all these conversations? What's the point of all this? And then one day, like, the line just gets drawn between all the dots and you can kind of see the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this conversation has just helped me unlock something. And that's wild. That's kind of wild.
That's what ayahuasca did. That's one of the gifts it gave me. It gave me the gift to, you know, the movie, The Butterfly Effect.
Yeah.
How Ashton Kutcher can write down what he, or and read it and go back to that time and place.
Man.
So ayahuasca gave me the ability to, which I'm sure we all have this ability, and I've had it this whole time. Just wasn't unlocked up here that I could do it. So I can now, when I'm having a moment where like a traumatic moment, or I'm having like an episode, I can pull out of myself, be the observer. It's almost like I hold a dial in my hand and I can skim through my life and I can pull out where the trauma caused the shit that's going on with me. I can pull it out and almost projector watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see every aspect of the traumatic incident from each person's point of view.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, that makes sense why I do this, or why I behave like that, or why this is my thought process in this instant or this situation. This is something learned. This isn't me. So this is something that I can change. Okay. So in a sense, it's the butterfly effect, because then I change my future. I move differently. I make different choices.
That's dope. That's dope as fuck.
It is. I can say plant medicines for me personally, and me personally only, has given me those keys to the universe. And these keys to the universe are never to be taken advantage of. You know, I take the lessons and all of that very seriously that I've been gone through. Like, I went through this for a reason, and now I can see how it affects me today and help me move differently. So I'm grateful to plant medicine, because I utilize it as a tool, a medicine, something to heal me with.
I like that a lot. No, I'm absorbing. If I'm not doing like a whole bunch of reacting, it's because I'm really absorbing and stuff. So I'm paying attention. I'm paying a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. You're an Aquarius.
Podcast over.
And cut. You're done. Because listen, he don't like for Hustle. It's like I don't know if I believe all that. But for me, when he told me he was an Aquarius, I was like, listen, this makes so much more sense now. You're going to actually probably run the whole show this time. And he really has. So it doesn't surprise me in the least bit that you're an alien. The Aquarian is always the alien of the fucking astrological chart. Nanu, nanu.
Oh, well, you do you.
It's like, what do you call them? Lobster hands? No. Crab hands? Crab boy? Or is it lobster boy? I'm thinking of American Horror Story, where he's got like the hands that are like this. Did you ever watch American Horror Story?
I did. I don't think I made it to that episode, though.
It was the circus one. Did you ever watch the circus?
I didn't make it to that one.
Did you ever watch Coven?
It was called what?
American Horror Story Coven, the one where it was all the witches?
No, I didn't make it that far. I made it like maybe 3 or 4 episodes in.
To season one?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because season one was tough to try to get through Hell House.
Yeah.
I did not watch season one until after I had already watched like 4 other seasons. And I was like, oh, damn. I think I could probably watch this. They all intertwine together, kind of.
Right.
So I can understand why you didn't make it very far. If I would have started with Hell House, I probably wouldn't have watched any of them. And I hear that fucking one of the Kardashian sisters is going to be on the new season. So I'm like, do I even really want to watch it? I have a really tough time with that whole group of women. So I'm like, I don't even really want to give my energy to that kind of show with her in it. And y'all can write that down. That's facts. That's how I feel.
It's not even going to be in this horror story. It's going to be a reality show. It's just going to be an extension of the show they already got.
Because I miss them. Well, I better watch what I say. Whew, I'm putting the evil eyes all around us right now, so we are protected. But they got some weird shit going on. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm sure we could say a lot different choice of what's going on, but weird. Out of this world is one of them. That's my opinion.
I'm gonna take a sip to that.
Go ahead and sip to that one. I think I'm gonna take a sip too. It's, you know, we're wrapping it up. We're, you know, whatever. What are we doing right now? Are we gonna end? Are we gonna keep talking? What do you want to do?
We can keep talking.
Okay.
We can talk tonight.
Okay. Well, we got time then. Okay. Tell me something about being on the road, or like a funny, like a memorable moment that was on stage. Do you have any good stage moments?
Stage moments. I performed Cheeto Dust.
I love that one.
With some actual Cheetos. I was eating Cheetos as I was performing Cheeto Dust. And after I finished the hook, I licked the Cheeto Dust off my fingers. And there was a girl in the club like, oh my fucking God, Cheeto Dust! She didn't get it before, but like as soon as I licked the Cheeto Dust off my finger, like everything made sense. It was just like, so like when Lil Wayne said that line a long time ago, real G's move in silence like lasagna. And people who didn't get her like, that's dumb, stupid, doesn't make sense, it's dumb. And like, you just had to break it down for them. It's like, real G's move in silence like lasagna. Spell lasagna. L-A-S-G-N-A. What letter did you not hear? The G.
Oh.
That was her moment.
When you started to do that?
the hook to Cheeto Dust.
Yeah, you want to play it?
No.
No.
I just want to tell you the hook.
Please just tell it to me. Because I had listened to Cheeto Dust yesterday. I was laughing. Because to me, I listen to what you're saying. I'm like, ooh, nasty.
Oh, wow. I don't even have it written down. Because when, I know it. But
okay.
Whenever I wrote Cheeto Dust, it was actually supposed to be a diss to Doritos. Yeah, petty, just dumb stuff.
Right.
But like the concept was so dope that I had to expand on it. So it's told her slow down. Why you in a rush? Going hard from dawn to dusk. It's lust, lips lush. Love to taste it when you bust. So good. Lick your fingers like they slipped and dipped in Cheeto dust.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had done, like, in that song, when I performed the song, the hook comes on twice. It was only after I actually ate the Cheetos and then licked the dust off my fingers. She's like, I love that song now. So, yeah, that was, that. Like, just some little things. It's just like, okay, now they get it. You know what I'm saying? Now they're rocking. Now, next time they listen to it, they'll be like, now it's clever. Now we can have fun. You know what I'm saying? Now I can say what I want to say and you'll get it. Now it's not just like, what?
Yeah.
Cheeto dust. That's not wet. That's stupid. That's dumb. You know what I'm saying? Now, mm-hmm. Now we can have dialogue.
Yeah. So, I can't believe it was a diss to Doritos. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and the great crazy thing is I love Doritos. The next song is gonna be Dorito Dust. So.
What do you feel about that, Dorito?
I can't make this up, and like I'll probably just do like a whole EP called Chips, and I'll probably have like Cheeto Dust, Dorito Dust, Frito Dust. Frito Dust is going at the end though, because nobody really likes Fritos.
It's some salty. People do.
It's salty, and they smell like feet. So I don't know.
It's the funniest part. Because
they do.
Bro took off his boots one time, and it smelled like fucking Fritos, yeah. And I was like. You eat some Fritos? But it was them boots. I'm like, take your boots outside the house, please.
You know it's a problem when Funyuns taste better than Fritos. And Funyuns are freaking onions. And they taste better than Fritos. Like, Fritos, like...
And Funyuns are just air.
Yeah. So...
Crispy air.
Yo, that's funny. Yo. So, like, you know when people get the variety pack of chips?
Uh-huh.
If you don't believe me, just pay attention to the next time you get the variety pack. See, and, like, do it at a party, because that's the best way to see. And just see what chips are left over. You're going to have Doritos. You're going to have Cheetos. You're going to have some Lay's. You're going to have some Fritos. You're going to have some Funyuns. You're going to have some other Lay's, you know, because Frito-Lay, they own everything. So, right. Anyway, it'll be, like, 6-7 different varieties of chips, and at the end of it, after everybody's had their fill, look at what chips are left. It's most likely going to be Fritos.
It's almost 9 times out of 10 Fritos.
So you just know,
and you don't even use those until you have Frito chili pies.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, you know what? We had to buy a bag of Fritos because we got all exactly. Them snack bags. Right there, just like that.
Light bulb moment.
That's the truth. And then you could do like. The walking, like bags, like you do, like walking tacos. You just like Frito chili pie bags.
This is what happens when you take psychedelics and cook.
Oh my god, I've done that. Taking psychedelics and then trying to cook and been like, this is so fun. And then you forget what you're doing and you're just like stirring and staring. And you're like, whoa, you know, look, get me on some mushrooms and let me look at a popcorn ceiling. I'm gonna be stuck for hours. You see that? That looks like a picture. You see that? Look like a bear.
I'm fucking dead. What is your what is like your favorite show to watch whenever you're off of psychedelics?
So every time that I've taken psychedelics as an adult,
mm-hmm.
Has been a ceremony style. So I haven't had like a show to watch. But I would probably say I don't watch movies or shows. I listen to music.
Okay.
I like to cliche. I like if I'm going to be consciously aware and not cover my eyes, Oh, I like to watch like the YouTube that has like the cool stuff, like pictures.
Oh, you're one of those.
Look, this is me.
Yeah.
Just some coming on the TV. That's why I don't. Hey, look, and I get weird sometimes on psychedelics. I'll just be sitting there having a conversation, crying. But it's just running out my eyes. I'm not really crying. It just stored and pent up cries that needed to come out one day. Never did. So that's going to happen.
Crying. Not like
literally.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
So I did one time. I am not saying that anyone should ever try MDMA or ecstasy, especially when they're in high school. But I did. And I had never had an experience like this, you know? So I'm like, one of my friends is selling it. So they're like, just take one, drink lots of orange juice, lots of water. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. It's in October. So it's spooky season. Like, I'm a spooky season girl all the time anyways. But in October, I'm like, give me all the scary shit and all the stuff we don't usually do during the year. I want to watch it all one night. Kind of thing. Like, so we're watching Hellraiser.
Oh, snap.
When I take this.
Oh, snap.
I don't know when it kicks in. All I know is that what it sounds like in my ears is like when someone turns like a microphone on and like the amplifier comes on, it's like kind of like that low tone. That happens to me. And I'm like, look, I'm like staring at the show and I'm like, coming out of the show? And I like look over and my friends are like, they're like rubbing on their head and like make, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm fucked up. And then I look at the TV and I'm like, oh no, can y'all turn that off? And then I'm going outside. I think I need to reconnect with the earth because I'm in hell right now and I'm freaking out.
It's literally being raised in front of me.
Pins, heads, I'm freaking out. Can I go outside? Is that allowed? You know, they're like, just use your legs, walk outside, Holly, it's fine. You know, no, that didn't happen, but still, that's funny. So there's just some experience. Like, I don't really watch TV when I'm in psychedelics. I don't want to.
I got you.
Yeah. Is there something that you like to watch?
Definitely Doctor Strange. I got wifey to take some ass one time and we watched Rick and Morty. That's the second favorite. Rick and Morty's very colorful and like the jokes go over like her head usually, but like I had her watch it and it's like the episode, like, so many dumb bitch. So she let us fall asleep on interdimensional cable and she's cracking up and like she's just extremely focused. I look over there and like her eyes are like this big. And she's just paying attention to everything. And it's kind of like how you're talking about, like, watching, like, the swirling colors and everything. Because it's very colorful. I don't know if that's an Aries thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess after you've been battling for a long time, you know, after all that war and everything, you just want to see some colorful shit.
Yes.
So like, she's watching that. And I'm just looking at her like, yeah, you're definitely fucked up.
I have always wondered what it's like to take psychedelics with your partner. Is it pretty neat because y'all have like a level of like being comfortable with each other? Because sometimes, like I said, I get weird. Like I just be crying and talking. Like I'm fine, but that's why I usually don't do psychedelics with people because I just be sitting by myself, crying, laughing, enjoying music. So what is it like that way?
It's pretty cool because I get to show her stuff that she watches me watch stuff all the time. But whenever we watch it again, it's like she's watching it for the first time. So like I'm nerdy, you know what I'm saying? I watch anime and everything.
Uh-huh.
So we're watching like Attack on Titan and she's just like, they're really about to get stomped on. I was like, yeah, I know, right? They're about to get fucked up. And she's like she's really worried about like the people on there. I was like, just remember, they're just drawn. They're not real, they're just drawn. But like the story feels so immersive, like she's just like, like, I'm just like, yeah, you might need to calm down. Let's go get some food. Let's go get some food.
Let's level back out.
You want some nachos? Like, I'm talking to her. I'm talking to her like one of those kids. You want some nachos? Carne asada sounds good, doesn't it?
What do you want?
And her lip starts doing that little, it just starts quivering a little bit. And like a little bit of drool and everything, you can kind of tell when somebody's like, yeah, that sounds really good. I was like, yeah, let's go get some of that. we'll resume after this commercial break.
Yes. Okay. When you're on psychedelics and you watch a show, do you notice, or even if you're not on psychedelics, do you notice the predictive programming?
Oh, I noticed it way before then, but it just makes me more aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is on. We're not going to get into this because we're not going to finish by 9 o'clock if I do. To say it short, I can. Movies, music, the internet, all of the streaming sites, they all have the same type of platform. They wait until something gets dope. Like when it first starts out, it starts off as fun and they get as creative as they can with it. Then they figure out a way to monetize it. And then it starts to feel like it's being force fed to you. And mm-hmm. that goes with everything. That's what it feels like watching TV. That's what it feels like watching like the same scenarios play out, even when it's politics, even when it's like your city making voting on like weed, recreational marijuana, and then like the other kind, the one where you smoke for fun. Yo, that's the same thing. See, that's how I move. medical marijuana and recreational marijuana type stuff. Like you, I can kind of see it everywhere and a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So since we're not going to get into predictive programming, because I feel like we should probably do another podcast where we can talk about all the different things, I really would like to sit with you and pick your brain on predictive programming, on multiverse, on CERN. What do you know about CERN?
A little bit. I'm pretty sure I don't know exactly what the acronym is, but I'm pretty sure I know enough about it.
I don't know the acronym either.
Okay. Well, we're on the same page. I will say, I believe like spirituality, science, religion, all of it have a common base. We're talking about the firmament, and like I know they use that quote, as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
What I think it could mean, like, what if, you know how water, or well, there's creatures in the water that live forever.
Mm, okay.
Like, there's like a immortal jellyfish and whatever. I guess whatever it is, like, you can do.
This
can
is Google ancient. It.
Yeah.
Like, this thing been here since.
Right. And so water and space behave very similarly. Like, it's weightless. You move through it. You kind of flow through it. What if, you know what I'm saying, as above, so below. What if it was like the waters under are the waters over you?
I have thought that before.
Because you're like, you'd be swimming in space. But you know what? It's however you break it down. Like I said, we're not going to get all the way into it.
We can't get into it. It's getting so close to 9.
I do love this quote. You were talking to me about like a tattoo of Isis you wanted.
Uh-huh.
And then someone had broke it down to me, like the first book of the Bible is Genesis. But really, and this was listening to Absol, it's like, actually, it's an abbreviation. It means the genesis, the genealogy of Isis. And so they all have common roots and they all share common themes. You know what I'm saying? If you dig deep enough, you'll find out that they all have a lot of history that, you know, traces back. It's not the one all be all, because you can't be the one all be all if you have, you know, you got your information from somewhere else. But I always like this quote. It said in the universe, in the beginning, God spoke the world into existence. We live in the universe. Me as a lyricist, me as a rapper, when you say universe, you're saying one word. Everything vibrates. So string theory, and again, incorporating everything that I was saying together, string theory says that at a molecular level, even the smallest atom is made of even smaller particles, and at the very base, everything vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the world was spoken. Science says we live in the universe. To me, that says everything is vibrating. To me, that says sound is holding everything together.
Yes.
Just a different energy holding stuff together. If you can vibrate fast enough, it's that you can phase through objects. So like everything we have, even like the most solid of matter, to the water, to the air, it's all vibrating. And it's just like one sound holding it all together. So that's all I'll say about that. Any other questions that you have for me, Miss Ha?
I really could probably ask you a million more questions. I really would like to have you come back where we can just talk about all the different things, because you're very knowledgeable and you can hold a very good conversation. So
I appreciate that. I don't want to be like one of those. I don't want to be like every other rapper who just raps good and you just really have an interview with them and you find out they're just airhead. Like, the way I write is the way I really think.
Yes, I definitely get that from you. So thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. If you want to maybe give any kind of ways to find you, how to search you or anything like that for the listeners, like, is there, do you have a certain platform? Do they just find you under Hustle?
They can find me on Hustle. Looking for me on all of the music streaming services is going to be Hustle. Big H, little U, little S, big L, because I have to be different. Again, Hustle's an acronym for Hurry Up, Start Living, so do that. If you want to find me on social media, I'm most active on Instagram, but anyone you can think of, it's going to be whatever social media, HUSL25.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and sitting with us while we did all the conversations left, right, up, down. Thank you so much for being here and doing this with me. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much for having me, Holly.
All right, guys. See you later. Bye.